Turn with me, if you would please, to Matthew chapter 14. I would like to look at verses 22 through 33 this morning. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you in the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down off out of the boat, he walked in the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let us pray together. O Lord, speak to us now. Send your spirit to our hearts, and we pray that you'll be our teacher, that you will bring your word to our hearts. We realize that apart from your work, nothing of eternal value will be accomplished. So we pray to you and ask you to come to us, your people, for we need you and we desire to hear from you. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Jesus teaches his people in many different ways and at different times. He always provides practical hands-on experience for his disciples to apply after what they heard or they learned from his teaching. Now, the disciples here were involved with the feeding of the 5,000 in chapter 14, and then in John, he fed the 4,000. However, the disciples didn't seem to make a connection here about the provision of Jesus. But he seems to often put his disciples in awkward situations, doesn't he? I suggest to you that he still does that today with his disciples like you and me. He teaches you and me through the circumstances of life, and he grows and strengthens our faith through them. But let's go to the Sea of Galilee and see what we can learn at the sea and what Jesus is teaching us as well as he teaches his disciples. The first thing I'd like you to notice about Jesus teaching his disciples is where Jesus teaches his disciples. You see this in verses 22 through 24, where he teaches his disciples. First thing in verse 22, notice as he leads them. You see that? As he's leading them, he immediately made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away and went to pray. And the word he made, where it says he made them, is a word, an interesting word, which means to persuade or to force. It's like they didn't want to do that without Jesus, but he persuaded them. He forced them. So they went out to the sea. You see, it was Jesus himself who put these disciples in this situation. You know, you might ask yourself and think about your own life, what awkward situations has Jesus put you in lately? What is it he's trying to teach you? Why did he do this with his disciples? And why does he do some of the things he does to us in our lives? The things that he lets happen. But he leads us in different ways. But he doesn't abandon us. He's always with us. But he does it sometimes at the worst possible time when he seems to do these things. Look at Joshua chapter 3, verse 15 for a moment. Joshua chapter 3, verse 15. Joshua chapter 3, verse 15 says this, "And as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest." Now, when you think about that, when does Jesus take them across the Jordan? Is it a sunny day? Maybe a cloudy day? You know, maybe the weather's real and it's real nice weather. But he doesn't do that. He waits till the worst possible time to take them across the Jordan. Now, the Jordan is rampant at this time of harvest. There's debris. It's flooding over its banks. It's dangerous to step into the river at this point. But the priest had to step in the whole way. It wasn't like being at the shore where you could just walk in slowly and get the water. They stepped in, and then it became a place for them to walk across. The water, the area was dry for them to cross the Jordan. But it's the worst possible time. Isn't it true that Jesus does this to us as well? Sometimes it seems like it's the worst thing. And sometimes more than one thing happens. But that's where he teaches his disciples. That's where he teaches you at this time. So he sent the multitude away, went to pray, and he sends his disciples. This is how Jesus teaches his disciples. Teaches you and me in difficult, hard times, as well as good times. The second thing I'd like you to notice about where Jesus teaches his disciples. Notice it's as he watches them. As he watches them, look at Mark chapter 7. Well, let's look at verse 22 through 24 first. Verse 22 through 24 talks about how he went up the mountain to pray and the boat was in the middle of the sea. But turn to Mark 6:48 for a moment. And we get a different picture here of what is going on. Mark chapter 6:48. We get more of what's going on here. In this situation, it says, Mark 6:48. "Then he saw them straining at rowing." That was Jesus. "For the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by." That's Mark's account. But you'll notice how many hours went by Jesus was watching them. Now the fourth watch is about 3 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the morning. And it was evening when Jesus sent them, so you get an idea how long they were trying to get the boat under control, taking water out of it. Possibly 3 to 5 hours is what they suggest it was. Can you imagine that? And he is sitting there watching them. He hasn't forgotten them. He knows what's going on, and he sits there and watches. He does that because he cares and he knows what's going on and he's directing all things. So that's why he does that. But he cares and he's teaching them. He wants them to learn something. And sometimes the longer you're in a more difficult situation, the more you wind up learning. But sometimes the longer you go, the longer you wait, the sweeter his grace and presence seems to be. But he watches them. Very interesting. He watches them. Thirdly, when Jesus teaches his disciples, as he protects them, we read Mark 6:48. "He saw them and he came to them." Now, understand how they viewed the sea at this time in this period of history. They considered the bottom of the ocean, the bottom of the sea, I should say, as the abyss where Satan himself dwelt. So they were particularly afraid, particularly scared, because of this, thinking they would go overboard and go down to the bottom of the sea. But you see, Jesus is showing them here that he has power over the evil one. There's nothing that can stop him. And he's teaching them as they go over and over and over again, trying to keep the boat going. He does it for a while so they'll learn. But the Lord teaches us sometimes through the different things we go through. Sometimes he takes us through the same thing at different times. I love the story told about Thomas Edison. He was working on the light bulb, and it took a whole team of men 24 hours straight to put just one together, and they did it. The story goes on that when Edison was finished with one light bulb, he gave it to a young boy, helper, who nervously carried it up to the stairs. Step by step, he cautiously watched his hands, obviously frightened of dropping such a priceless piece of work. But you might know what happens. He drops it. The young fellow dropped the bulb at the top of the stairs. He almost made it. And it took an entire team of 24 hours to make it. So they made another one. Finally, it was over. But what did Thomas Edison do? He gave the bulb to the same boy and told him to take it to the top of the stairs. The boy, he dropped it. Edison wanted him to learn how to handle things like that so he could do it again and understand. You see, that's what God does sometimes to us. We fail, he takes us through it again, maybe again, and then we learn, and he teaches us. The second thing I'd like you to notice about how Jesus teaches his disciples is when Jesus teaches his disciples, in verses 25 through 27, when he teaches his disciples. Notice, first of all, it's in his time, verse 25. The fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. The first, he goes, he walks on the sea, but it is at his time. He protects them, and now, in his time, he goes. Notice, as I said, it was early in the morning. This was a scary time to be in the midst of the sea. Normally, you don't. You're at home sleeping. You're at home sleeping. You see that? But that's when Jesus comes. And he astonishes them. They're out of their minds. And he surprises them as he comes. But it's in his time. And often he does this when we're not paying attention. When we're not paying attention, he often does it. He often intervenes and works in our lives. And he wants us to see that we cannot take credit for his work in our lives. We can't make him do it. We can't take credit ourselves. It's only Jesus who gets the credit. He astonishes and surprises them. Jesus does that in your life and my life as well. In his time. Jesus teaches his disciples in verse 25 to 27, the fourth night of the watch. He goes to them. The disciples thought that they had seen a ghost, and they cried out of fear. But Jesus said, be of good courage. It's I. The second thing, notice he does it in his way. Jesus teaches his disciples in his way. You see that? He could have had the boat stop. Be on the mountain and just stop the storm, and that would have been it. Or he could have gotten the boat to the other side of the sea. But he didn't. He did it his way. And where it says they were troubled, where the disciples were troubled, it's a word which means troubled in soul and spirit. Really, really troubled. Very much afraid. And the word for ghost is the word where we get the word phantom from. They thought that they had seen a phantom. And he cries, they cry out. And the word that's in Greek is what's referred to as an onomatopoetic word, which means it makes the sound as you say the word. Grazo is the word. And it's a cry of a raven. The cry of a raven. Interesting, isn't it, what Jesus does? And if you go back to Mark 6:48, you'll see how he comes to them in his way. One of the accounts says that he went by, was acting like he was going to walk by them, and they cried out. But it was a very scary situation for them. That's when Jesus teaches his disciples. The third thing I'd like you to notice is he teaches them in his power. In his power and with his power. He says, be of good courage. Be of good courage. The word means confident. And it means, it's actually a command Jesus is giving them. Do not fear. Be of good courage. Fear is, the word is used as phobia, where we get terror and dreadful things. And Jesus says, stop being afraid. It is I. It's in Greek, it's the word that he uses when he refers to himself as God. It is I. It is I. Look at John chapter 8, verse 58 through 59. You get the power of what Jesus was saying by those words, it is I. John chapter 8, verse 58 through 59. You know what Jesus says here? Before Abraham was, I am. And they took up stones to stone him, but he gets away. Jesus is saying, before Abraham was, I am eternally, I am God. That's what he was trying to say to the disciples here, as they were afraid. But it's interesting, he does it in his time, in his way, in his power. He often does things in ways that we don't expect him, or what we think would not happen. We often worry about things, and Matthew 6 tells us not to worry, but we worry about things because we think only in the realm of what we can understand as potential things to happen. But God is far above that. Jesus is far above what we can ask or think, according as it says in Ephesians. He teaches his disciples where he teaches them, when he teaches them. And it is in his power, in his time, and in his ways. Very interesting quote from history, from, I believe this was Jonathan Edwards. Those who know the path to God can find it in the dark. Suffering teaches us patience. These words were found penned on the wall of a prison cell in Europe. This is what it said. I believe in love even when I don't feel it. I believe in God even when he is silent. That was penned in a prison cell. No doubt what they must have gone through. So, we see where he teaches them and how he teaches them. The third thing I'd like you to notice is what Jesus teaches his disciples. Notice what he teaches his disciples. You see this in verse 28 through 33. 28 through 33. Peter talks to the Lord, says, Lord, if it's you, let me come. And Jesus says, come. And the wind and was boisterous and the storm was terrible. And Peter starts doubting, falls into the water. And Jesus pulls him up and they get into the boat and the storm ceases. The first thing I believe he teaches his disciples here and wants to teach us is about fear. About fear. You notice what's very important, that even in the noise and terror of a storm, If you've ever been in a big storm, the wind and the thunder and everything, they still heard the voice of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever been in a storm when you want to talk to someone and you have to yell because they don't hear you? You're yelling at each other. Jesus' voice is heard above it. You see, he is that powerful, and he speaks to us through his word, and he hears you even in the storms of your life. Jesus invites his disciples to rise above the storm by his power. You don't need to fear the storms of your life. You don't need to fear them. Turn to Psalm 27, verse 1 through 2 for a moment. Psalm 27, verses 1 through 2. Listen to what the psalmist says. The Lord is the light of my salvation. Who shall I fear? In other words, the answer is implied and is clear. No one. The Lord is our light. We need not fear anything that we go through because he's present. And Hebrews 13:5, turn there for a moment. Some of you are very familiar with this passage. Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you or forsake you. That's a promise God makes. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever is happening, he says he's never going to leave you. That's a promise. And we know that God does not lie. And that is true. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Even in the darkest and most difficult places and times, you can hear his voice. You can hear it in his word as you read it, as he puts impressions on your heart as you hear him. Jesus wants his disciples not to fear. He wants you to not fear anything. He teaches his disciples first about fear. Secondly, he teaches them about trust. You see this in verse 29. He teaches them about trust. You see that? Peter says to him, can I come? If it's you, tell me. So Peter's invited to walk in the water, and he does for a time. Can you imagine what that must have been like? I mean, no one has ever done that. And here's Peter walking across the top of the water. Amazing. Peter probably was surprised himself. He gets out and he starts walking. Jesus was saying to him, Peter, by my power and presence, you can do this. You can face all kinds of situations if you keep your eyes on me. But what happens? Saw the wind and the water and all the problems. Verse 30. Look at verse 30 for a moment. It says, when he saw the wind was boisterous, he turned his focus off the Lord unto the wind. He became focused upon what way things were looking continually at the wind and how things were going. That's where his focus went. And you and I, if we take our eyes off our Lord as he is teaching us and when he teaches us and all that he teaches us, we will fall as well. And he wants his people to trust him. To trust him. It says that Peter, in the original language, was continually looking at the wind. He just didn't look and look away. And he was afraid. Then fear set in, the word for phobia as well. Whenever you take your focus off the Lord's presence and power, you will sink, no matter what it is. And again, in verse 30, he cries out. That same word, krazo, is used in verse 26. Jesus is saying, Peter, if you trust me, you can do this. If you put your faith in me, you can get through it. I'll lead you. I didn't put you here in whatever you're going through and decide to abandon you. I'll be there for you. It's very interesting when it says he doubted. When he doubted in verse 31, the word is kind of an interesting word. It means double, looking two ways, standing in two different ways, uncertain which way to go back and forth. I'm going to do this then and not this, and now this and not that. It's a going back and forth in Peter's mind. He couldn't keep his eyes on the Lord. He kept looking at the life around him. Don't look at things around you without realizing the presence of the Lord to deliver you. So he teaches his disciples about trust. And then thirdly, verse 32, he teaches them about his authority. About his authority. When he got into the boat, the wind ceased. The wind and the storm stopped after he and Peter got back into the boat. And he wanted them to see that it was his power that did it, and it wasn't the end of the storm. That was very obvious to them because it stopped like that. The storm didn't come to an end because it was over. It came to an end because Jesus told the storm, yelled out, stop. And it obeyed his word. Turn to John chapter 6, verse 19 through 21 for a moment. There's another miracle here I'd like you to see. It's in John's account, chapter 6, verse 19. John chapter 6, beginning of verse 19. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they willingly received them into the boat, and immediately the boat was at land where they were going. You see that? They're in the middle of the sea, is what we're told, when Jesus walked to them. He gets into the boat, and automatically they're at the edge of land. They were at shore. See, that's a miracle, because you'd have to row. If you're sitting in the water, to get to the end, you have to be rowing. It has to be moving. But Jesus made the boat go to the shore to show them that he is the one that will guide them, get them through the problems, and provide for them. So you can go through anything, because Jesus is always present. It's not easy, but it's true. He's always present. And we can do that. Isn't it interesting to note how the disciples responded to all of this? It says, verse 33, they worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." All of this reinforced in their mind that he truly was the Son of God. If he has power to do all of this, he certainly has power to meet every situation that they will ever face. And so do you and I. Do you see what this Almighty God, how powerful he is? The knowledge he has? I hope that you and I learn what the disciples learned here. He was always present with, he's always present with us, always watching over us. What an incredible learning experience this was. A practical experience for his disciples. See, learning can take place anywhere. God does things all different places. So you will learn, and I will learn. And that can happen at any time or in any place of your life when you least expect it. Isn't it amazing? Jesus teaching his disciples, where he teaches them, when he teaches them, and what he teaches them. Let's remember that. May the Lord teach all of us from this important learning experience at the sea that he is our Lord and that he is directing our lives, and we can trust him no matter what we face. We truly can trust him in all things. Lord, thank you for your word. We pray that you will bless your word to our hearts, that we will realize what is happening here, Lord. That you're teaching, you were teaching your disciples, but you want us to learn too. You want us to be taught. And we observe these things in your word, and we realize that we too needed to hear this, because we're your disciples and things are difficult. We live in a fallen world, a sinful world. Decisions we have to make, things we must do. But we know that you're directing our lives in ways that please you. And we thank you for that. Give us strength, strengthen our faith to trust you in all things. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's remember his presence always with us as he tells us to take up our cross daily and follow him. Hymn number 507, take up your cross, the Savior says. Let's stand together and sing.